Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a comedy parenting podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
Kind of have to pee.
Are you going to use the boys' bathroom?
No. Okay. That is the most disgusting thing you've ever suggested to me.
Well, we're right next door to it.
Yes, but it's full of pee splash and pubes.
Oh my God, I just died inside.
Hi.
Hello.
That's my wife, Ellen.
And that's my wife, Bonnie.
I Shouldn't Have Had Kids is brought to you by our three boys and their kindness in permitting us to share just some of their stories.
We're podcasting for parental sanity.
Ours and yours.
And it wouldn't be possible without Tigger, Lola, and Shy Guy.
Aw, those are actually the nicknames we use for the three boys.
Thank God.
Protect their identity. If you are interested, you'll find the behind-the-scenes story of the nicknames in our show trailer. So go ahead, give it a listen. You have nothing else to do. We're still in quarantine.
On this podcast, we say the things out loud that most parents keep to themselves. And probably should.
Yeah, I think maybe we should even sometimes.
Well, then let's start now. Goodbye.
You might be joining us because you're looking for good parenting advice.
And that would be your first mistake.
Oh, man, would it ever. We're just a couple of moms trying to figure things out on the fly. And actually, we crack each other up with the stories of miss the mark parenting inspired by the ridiculous behavior of our three sons.
Speaking of which, this week we're talking about conflict and kids.
Oh, my God. If you have children, you know conflict. We've got three of them. We know lots of conflict. Although we do have one conflict avoidant boy.
Oh, yeah. Guess which one. I'll give you three guesses. Let's think about their names.
Yeah, okay.
Anywho. Okay. But first.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. You're talking to me, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right. We're recording.
That's happening.
This podcast is actually fucking happening.
Oh.
Oh, that's one thing we forgot to say.
We swear.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes angry swears. Sometimes
no,
funny swears.
I take out a lot of the angry swears.
Oh, that's probably good.
It is for you.
Yeah. I mean, if you want telehealth, then sign yourself up. Don't listen to our therapy session.
Actually, podcasting for us is a little bit of therapy. It started out before we had the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into, mm-hmm, God help us. You know, actually, what bothers me is there is a one-sided thing happening. So those folks who are listening to us every single week, we love you. One, thank you so much. It's actually fabulous to have you along for the ride. And I love knowing that you're out there. I love it when you say something on our social. We haven't talked about our social handles forever, but it's, you know, it's a no-brainer, right? I Shouldn't Have Had Kids on Facebook or on
Instagram.
A little bit different on Twitter. Just look for
Shh Kids. S-H-H Kids.
Right. But the thing is that you get to listen to us talk every week.
We don't get to listen to you.
No, we're just here. In the mid-century modern Bombcast studio.
This is what Doug was talking about the other day. He's
Dougie!
Listening to it like it's radio and he wants to pick up the phone and call in, which could be its own podcast.
Yes,
like,
it could.
Tuesdays with Dougie.
Oh, my God. We should call him up on the phone.
Yeah, and we should patch him in. That would be a good time.
Oh, now my wheel kit. Listen.
I can hear the wheels
turning.
Okay, my
wheels are turning. All right, so let's get to the shit list. This is the list of things that we love, and I know that sounds a little contrary to what it might be, but it started by the shit I love. That was the name of it, the shit I love. And then we just decided because we are shitheads, we love Schitt's Creek, that we would call this the shit list, although it's not spelled like Schitt's Creek. It's spelled like the regular old swear
my wife,
shit.
Oh, over-explainer.
My God, I'm an over-explainer.
I love you.
I'm sorry.
Much.
Yeah, but they don't. Are you guys just sick and tired of me over-explaining?
I think at this point, if you're like, this is episode, what, 29? Like, just get with the program. Because every time I hear shit list,
yeah,
I think more like...
That's the shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I just
it's
keep
fine.
Explaining.
Either way, make people wonder when you're like talking about something you love and they're like, that was on their shit list.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
The other thing that's so weird, you might not have figured out if you're new, we're married. Yeah, that's right.
We did kind of open it with that's my wife, so.
Oh my God, I've over-explained again. This is the over-explaining episode.
That's all right. That's your superpower.
It is.
The over-explainer.
Oh my God, what is that voice?
That was my cartoon announcer voice.
I loved it. Okay, first up on my shit list.
Yep, do it.
It's the, of course, the LGBTQ Supreme Court ruling. Whoop, whoop. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I know.
Best part.
What?
That it was Gorsuch or whatever.
Nobody knows how to say his name or
goodness
spell his name.
Gracious.
Thank you so much. Let's just call him Neil.
Thanks for being the uber constitutionalist.
Yep.
Who was like, well.
That's right.
Yeah, that was great. Oh. That was a good day.
On Sunday, June 14th, it was perfectly legal in a majority of the U.S. to fire someone for being gay, bisexual, or transgender. And then you know what? We woke up on Monday, June 15th, and before it was even noon on the West Coast, it wasn't.
Yay.
All over. All done. It was a 6-3 decision, which was kind of surprising to everybody, that, quote, an employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transgender defies the law. You can't do it anymore. Sorry.
That's so stupid.
Well, you
know, there's so much money to be made on gay people.
Well, there's that. Way to speak like an American.
Yeah.
Market power.
Well, you employ people, they make money, they spend money.
Yes.
So if we're going to get all uppity and fire people, you're really just shooting yourself in the foot. Because the whole 1 in 7 number, that's low. I'm here to tell you.
Do you think so?
Oh, 100%.
100%. Why do you think that?
I just think that if people were a little more real with themselves, or, I mean, that's, and how do we even know that? Is that like reported on the census? That's pretty private information. People might not say, but.
Well, not only that, it's a binary choice, right? You either are gay or you aren't gay.
Now, you said choice. That's a little bit of a red flag for me. What do you mean choice?
Well, I mean, if you're, no, and just in terms of filling out a census, you got a bubble, bubble question. You have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not, there are plenty of people out there, myself included, who like embrace it all.
Yeah.
I love it. Bisexuals rule. All right. You're up on the shit list, dear heart.
Oh, okay. So here's my new obsession. It's a book. It's called The New Jim Crow, and it's by Michelle Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to it as an audiobook. And if you are at all interested in making yourself a better person, and you want to read the, you want to read this book, I highly recommend the audio version. And the reason is because in the printed, and I'll double check this, but I don't believe in the printed version, it includes this new introduction by the author.
When did she lay down that new introduction? Do you know?
No, I got to look.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm coming unprepared, but I know the book was released in 2010 with a slight update in 2012.
Uh-huh.
But this version that I'm reading right now, or listening to, and the voiceover narrator also has a beautiful voice and cadence that's just
nice,
delightful.
Yeah,
like you just are being carried through the story.
Which is kind of important because it's a tough one. I'm reading it, but I think I'm going to switch over to audiobook.
Well, I bought it on our family plan.
So I can listen to
you. You can listen to it. But basically this book, you know, I don't know how late I am to the party on some of these concepts, but there's tons of topics that I've heard my whole life. Things like the war on drugs and mass incarceration and mandatory jail sentencing and crack cocaine and all these things that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that doesn't, none of that applies to me. So great. Some vocab words. Well, this book, for me personally, that journey has been that it ties it all together. And it kind of has caught me up on why
we're in the predicament we're in right now.
We're in the predicament we're in right now. Because I think it's real easy to go, well, it's been 400 years of oppression. Yes, absolutely.
That is true. And
but in the last, you know, how is racism still in America today? It's 2020, for God's sake. Read this book. I get really, really worked up about this book anytime I talk about it. So I'm trying to like be chill. But I listened to it for 8 hours almost in a row on Sunday.
when we drove down to Oregon back again.
Yep.
So, in different cars because we were dropping off a car for Lola.
Shy guy. I mean, Tigger.
For oh, Tigger. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, but I mean, I could have listened to it all night as well. I mean, it is riveting to me.
Well, what was interesting to me as we were coming back, I was editing. For those of you who have never seen Ellen speak, and maybe we'll start doing, maybe we'll do a few videos, actually.
Sure.
I think we should, some live videos. When she is thinking about something really hard and she wants to make a point in her mind, she starts waving her hands as if she is orating, as if she's, and she'll take her finger and she'll like point. And so I know that something's really under her skin, and I'm sitting there editing in the car and I'm wearing headphones and I see out of the corner of my eye her, she starts gesturing and I'm like, oh, she's all worked up over that book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at me and you're like, Bill Clinton's an asshole. And I'm like, oh, welcome to the party. Yes, he is.
Dangerous guy.
Yeah, he really did some damage and he was...
He like laid the foundation, built the walls, put the flagpole up for institutionalized... racism.
Yeah.
I mean, he just kept, there's one thing to rage war on drugs, and there's another thing to create all these. Oh, I can't. See, I got to stop.
Well,
it's absolutely mind blowing to me. And I know you said to go a little easy on myself because this is just like
your awakening.
Calm down and do
the work,
the research, and just get your shit together. But it is embarrassing that I never stopped to put the pieces together because I was in that colorblind haze. Where
I don't have
it was...
a racist bone in my body.
Well, and that may be true, but that doesn't mean much.
No, it doesn't.
And that's the thing.
That's why you have to be an anti-racist. I think it's really an interesting, I think most of white America is embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't think you're alone.
I mean, it is just... we are so conditioned. White is good and black is bad.
Well, and white is the norm. Everything else is other than.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's been the right book at the right time for me. I started with White Fragility. I read that at the end of last year, actually, which seems so long ago.
I know. It was before the world was on fire.
Yeah. But reading that book first got me to a place where I understood where I was as a white person and was like, oh, yeah, I am one of those dipshits that says I'm colorblind or whatever. And
ultra progressives who think that.
Well, that there was nothing more I needed to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. But you need to be easy on yourself because here's the deal. If you are seeking, good on you. If you're listening and you're seeking information, it's great. I had a rather startling, you know, it was like somebody threw, it was like the ice bucket challenge for me because I started with Between the World and Me after Donald Trump was elected. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are joining us or who don't know this, one of our sons is biracial. Shy Guy is a biracial kid. And so for us, these issues are super real. I mean, it's, there have been a lot of tears shed in this house over the last couple of weeks,
weeks. That's the thing. They've been real the whole time he's been growing up.
Yes. When you read Between the World and Me, which is a father's letter to his black son who realizes that, well, if the cops aren't going to be held accountable, then he isn't safe and the world is effed. Mm-hmm. And he this boy who was raised with all the privilege in the world who did not understand in the same way that we did not understand, Ellen. He wasn't any better than
which,
we were.
Which boy was raised with all the privilege in
Dakota's
the world?
Dakota's son.
Okay.
So Dakota's is an advocate. He was a protester. He was raised in,
He's black.
He's black,
and
right.
And he's writing this letter to his son who is black.
Yes. I'm sorry. Was I not clear? That was helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I skip the important details. So the book is, it started as a letter to his son and it became this book. And I won't ruin it for you, but what was so fascinating to me was the case that he made for hopelessness.
Mm.
And it was really, it was heartbreaking. And it was not wrong, but I am happy to say that he has watched what has unfolded in this country over the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he says now that he actually has hope. So that makes me feel better because he makes the case that Black Americans, African Americans, and particularly men do not own their own bodies.
No.
And they never have owned their own bodies. It's a stunning book, and it was really sad because, you know, he's writing to a boy who is Shy Guy's age right now.
Yeah.
And this kid is crushed. He cannot believe that this is the world he lives in. And I think that we are all where his son was in this book when it happened. I think it was when the verdict came back about the cops regarding Michael Brown. So that one was I can't wait till you read that one so we can talk about it. I might even read it again.
Well, that one is actually next.
Oh, good.
On my list. And then there's a couple more. Maybe I'll post these books, cuz I'm feeling like a hunger that I've
to
never
learn.
Yeah, that I've yeah. never felt before. I wasn't this inspired and upset and just all of these really like powerful emotions that feel like they're propelling me forward.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like this even in 16, even around the Me Too movement or the Women's March. I mean, all incredibly important things.
Yep. This is different.
This feels different. And I think I'm still breaking it down, but this is fucking personal. Because at what point is this country, is society going to look at my little boy and think he's dangerous?
Probably tomorrow.
Because fuck that.
It makes me afraid as his mom, as one of his three moms. But more than that, it literally breaks my heart to think that he will look somebody in the face one day, because this is a nice kid. He is one of the nicest people I know. He's a straight A student, really good athlete, really just tries his hardest to be the best person he possibly can. And I hate the thought of him, you know, wherever it's going to happen, and it is going to happen, he's going to see it on somebody's face. He's going to hear someone lock their door as he walks by. He's going to see somebody cross the street to the other side. He's going to get pulled over by a cop with racism, you know, coursing through his veins. It's going to happen. And I don't want him to be crushed. I just don't want that. And I don't want him to think badly about himself. And I don't want that for the children of any black moms or white moms who have a biracial boy in their their life. You know, that's what's hard for me.
I mean, that really is just what keeps pushing me forward, is just being agents of change, figuring out ways to throw sticks in the wheel that won't stop spinning. And if enough people throw sticks in, if enough big things happen, and enough people completely change their not their hearts, because, and I'm not talking about overt racism, I'm talking about the people who are do-nothings, like
yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
If you pause and take stock and think even small, you don't need to hold a rally, and you don't need to run for office, but if you have small children, buy them books that are nothing but stories depicting black babies or people of color.
I have a picture.
Buy your white toddler.
Right.
A black baby doll. Why wouldn't you?
I took Tigger to see a black Santa at Nordstrom.
Oh my gosh.
When
people throw fits about black Santa.
Whose lap have the black kids been sitting on all these years?
White Santa?
Yeah, so fuck that.
Well, what baby dolls did they have to swaddle and
that's right.
feed a bottle to and
little
take
white,
care of?
Little white baby dolls.
What color Band-Aids?
This is a big one.
Did they
I've
have?
Posted about this a couple of times now because, 18 months ago, it cost an arm and a leg to buy a Band-Aid that was the same color as a black person's skin.
Yeah.
And when I say black person, what shade?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And Band-Aid finally, thank you, Band-Aid, but why did it fucking take so long? Johnson & Johnson just came
Dickheads.
Out with a hold. Well, see, okay, this is what I'm talking about.
Well, you've got to start somewhere.
Yes.
And I'm not indicting them because it took them so long. But I'm like,
embarrassed that it took all of us so long.
Guys, everybody, this is the kind of thing where you can affect change. So
yep.
If enough people had noticed that 20 years ago and started a letter writing campaign, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter to enough people.
That's right.
Who had the privilege to put pen to paper.
Yeah.
Because those who had affected were busy surviving. So you have to pause and look around and see where you can roll in things that are different. Stretch yourself. Don't hire your friends. Be more creative in your marketing. Like, there's so many things that you can do. And if everyone were doing all those little things, it would start to shift. It may not happen in my lifetime.
I hope it does.
I do too. Believe me.
Yeah, yeah.
I do too. But it's not a reason to go, oh, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, so not going to worry about it. And I was actually talking to someone today, a friend of mine who's Black, and I asked, does this feel different? Because George Floyd's, this isn't the first.
Right.
The first time.
Right.
This has happened. And she said, this feels different.
I've heard that from everybody. And it feels different to me. But I love hearing from African-Americans that it feels different. Because that's that's where it really matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a very long shit list item. And I love talking about that.
Okay, you feel free, as our editor, to cut as much of that as you want, because this isn't the point of the podcast. But it is, we're parents, and this is a big part of our parenting right now, is navigating this, because
my
experience is white, and I have to make sure that I know what the hell I'm doing.
Okay, so I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I just looked something up so I could double check it.
Yeah.
And it's not Dakotes. His name is Ta-Nehisi Coates. And I just put the ta with the coats. Dakotes.
Oh, I see.
But it's Ta-Nehisi.
Well, way to get in front of that.
Well, yeah, before I have to correct myself next week. But I was going to say, my second item on the shit list is also a book that I am reading right now. And by reading, I mean listening to. And it's absolutely the best narration of any book I've ever heard in my life.
Like the voice?
It's the author. Mm. And she's reading it.
Oh, I love it when it's the author.
Oh, my gosh. She is not only a journalist and she's trained in medicine, but she has got to have acting training. The voices that she does. And I was trying to figure out last night listening to her, because she's telling the story of Henrietta Lacks. And I don't know if you know about Henrietta Lacks, but there is a strain of cells that research has been using since the 1950s. This is the strongest cell line in all of research, in all of history, and it comes from a woman named Henrietta Lacks. And so they call it the HeLa, the H-E from Henrietta and the L-A from Lacks. But anyway, the immortal life of Henrietta Lacks, or HeLa, is one of the most incredible books. This African-American woman had cervical cancer. They took a slice of her cancer before she died from it. They used it to create this cell line. They donated bits and pieces of the cell line to scientists everywhere. Johns Hopkins did. And then these people went on to create businesses that made millions and millions and billions of dollars. So much money has been made off this woman's cell line. And yet her own family can't afford health care. The parallel between, you know, what's going on in the world right now in regards to, you know, the safety of Black men and the safety of Black lives. And then to see, you know, how they were treated by hospitals like Johns Hopkins. It's a remarkable read, but it's also really interesting. I really recommend it to you. So that's on my shit list this week.
I love it when an author records a book.
She is so good.
I feel like you get a more authentic experience because they're reading it. They
knew what they meant to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, don't even bother reading the paper copy of Michelle Obama's book.
No, she's so good.
Listen to her tell you the story.
Yes.
So good.
We are going to talk about conflict resolution with kids. So while the world needs to learn conflict resolution, kids need to learn how to settle down and to stop saying to each other, stop breathing my air.
Yeah.
Because they say shit like that.
That's from, I think, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Stop breathing my air?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's from my childhood. I can remember saying that to my brother.
Oh, well, it's in the books.
Get out.
For sure. That's how I came to know about it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Stop breathing my air?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stop looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
You're touching me. He's touching me.
Oh, he's touching me. Yes.
He's touching me.
He ate the chips. He ate all the chips. My brother.
Did he eat all the chips?
He ate everything. I'm not kidding you. My mom would come home and we had like zero money. So when she went on her big shop, then we would usually have one or two things that were, you know, treats.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't take part of it and hide it,
yeah,
then I never got any of it.
Aww.
And I would go, yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. I mean, if you've got siblings out there, did you not have that issue?
I was the oldest. If I wanted it, I ate it.
That's
right.
They
were the ones that had to hide it from me.
Well, do any of these things sound familiar? You ready for these phrases?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, there's stop breathing my air.
Is this a quiz? Did our kids actually say these
things? No, this is just the sorts of things that start conflicts with kids.
Okay.
I call shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
You had it last time.
That's right.
I did not. Stop copying me. Or I was playing with that. I was reading that. I was using that. That's mine.
I was sitting there.
I was sitting there. Yes. Get out of my chair.
Mm-hmm.
Like a chair has ownership.
Yeah.
This is from our kids. He pressed my pressure point.
Oh,
I almost
my
fainted.
God.
Is there such a, was it pressure point, right?
Yeah, pressure point. It's a pressure point.
God, don't touch me there. That's my pressure point. Where's the pressure point?
Yeah,
tell me.
Go ahead. Keep pushing on that. Can you actually make him pass out? Let's try it.
And then this one is also from our boys. I don't know if your kids did this, but Tigger won't stop giving me wet willies.
I've never heard that. Okay, the whole that's gross.
What, wet willies? Why is it called a wet willie?
It's probably a...
Do you think it's a dick reference?
Probably. Isn't everything...
A dick reference.
A dick reference. Just dicks everywhere. Dicks, 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 dicks. Okay, but I think we should also cover conflict in other places.
Oh, I'm happy to.
Okay, good.
Are we talking about conflict between us?
Well, conflict between kids.
Oh, yeah.
Conflict between parents and kids.
Oh, my God. What conflict?
And then conflict between adults about your kids.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, and if you're a blended family like we are, because she brings one, Shy Guy, and I bring two, Tigger and Lola, and together we're the Brady Bunch, although there's
the
only five of us.
We became...
Yeah, so there's always conflict, especially with blended families, but even non-blended families, getting on the same parenting page is hard.
Yeah, but I mean, with people about your kids.
Ew.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
No, I don't know what stories you're referencing, but I got you.
I mean, my favorite all time is when there was a person associated with the school who was telling me how Tigger and Lola had all through elementary school and even into middle school an issue with reading during class.
Yes.
They were not supposed to read during class and it was problematic. It was like
they read all the time.
We would get called in to talk about the fact that a book was always in the lap or a book was out blatantly during a lecture or a book was being shoved up the t-shirt and then the student in the bathroom for an hour. Like,
yep.
Reading was a problem.
Yeah.
And I was leaving a theater guild production.
I know this
woman
story.
Was like, you know, we were talking about something and she said, you know, you just have the nicest boys and blah, blah, blah. And I see them every day in the library. And I'm like, well, I bet you do because, you know, that's
an issue.
Our family's like issue. And,
Achilles heel.
Oh, no, you know, no. And I'm like, no, it is. It's like something that we work on with them to like tone it down. And she was just like, you don't know how good you have it. That's not an issue. And I'm like, look, I mean, I laid into her.
She does not
she
like you anymore.
No idea what she was talking about and was just blowing off something that we had had to work. We worked so hard.
Yeah, it was always an issue for
to
us.
To try to work with the teachers and redirect this because, mm-hmm. Yes, that is a great escape, mm-hmm. But like time and place, boys, time and place. And no, but I think she actually then ended up having to like be a part of some mediation where she was asked to not let them come in
to the library
to get more reading material.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just went berserk on her. And we were standing there with a friend who was like, oh. Ooh, and like turned
and
walked
split.
Away because they don't like conflict at all. And neither do I. But that, ooh.
She pushed you too far.
She pushed me too far and
yeah.
Was too snitty and too know-it-all-y and too trying to put me in my place about you don't know how good you have it. I know how good I have it.
Yeah.
My kids are fucking rock stars. But this bit is a problem. Oh, my God.
Hey, a quick aside, just on that note, just to tag onto that.
Yeah.
Every single school year, we meet the teachers and we would say, look, the one thing you need to know is that reading is a problem,
mm-hmm.
for both Tigger and Lola because mm-hmm. That they just escape through their reading and we are really working hard to make sure that they stay present.
Oh, no. It's not a problem.
No, really. No. I know it doesn't sound like a problem.
Okay,
but it really,
Bonnie.
No, really.
Yeah. No, we'll keep our eye on it, but I'm sure it's fine.
Okay, fast forward 6 weeks. And now we're coming in for the parent-teacher conference.
So we've had an issue with reading.
Oh, really? Really? Is this the reading issue that I brought up in our first meeting? You remember that, don't you?
You know, it has turned into a little bit of a problem.
It actually didn't turn into a problem. It came in a problem. Oh, you have the pursed lip look. Mm-hmm. Yes. Seriously, it makes me crazy to even think about that.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. We loved every single teacher, except for one, that our kids have had. Now, all the teachers that we know are like, am I that one? Am I the one they hated?
Yeah, the one that was an absolute piece of toadstool is not listening to this podcast.
No, she's not.
God she's not. Bless you wherever you are.
Yeah, may you be a better teacher.
Bless your
every
heart.
Single year. Anyway, so
may you retire and never
as soon as possible
torture any other kid or parent again.
All right, let's talk about conflict resolution. You know, how do you get your kids to settle down? How do you get them to stop breathing each other's air or caring that they happen to be sharing airspace with their siblings?
Right.
I think that's a good question. But the thing is they fight over the dumbest stuff, don't they?
They fight over the dumbest stuff. And when they're in that moment, they are literally diametrically opposed. They couldn't be
further apart
on the issue. But the issue is stupid. Like, I was sitting there. No, you weren't.
Yeah.
That is like time for World War III.
Okay. You know what? One of my favorite memories from this is...
From what? From just all the conflict,
all the conflict
revolution? I know you should...
The conflict revolution.
Oh.
That's what you said. I love it.
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
There's something there. Write that shit down.
Okay. You had
the conflict resolution.
You had the Harwick. Oh.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Whatever you say.
Okay, it's what's your favorite part of this?
When the boys came back from camp.
Yeah.
And evidently there was some song that that Shy Guy and Lola were just over. They were so far over it, and Tigger knew that. And he sang that song all the time. And I just remember sitting at the dinner table once, and he starts singing it under his breath, and I'm thinking, well, you little, you know...
Rat bastard.
Rat bastard. I was looking for that word. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And...
I thought you were going to say shit rat.
I was! How did you know that?
I don't know. I'm like, that's wrong. Rat bastard.
And he starts singing this song, and Lola looks at him and says, stop it! And Tigger says, well, I really like this song. And Lola's like, I hate that song. You know I hate that song. And Tigger's like, no, I didn't. And this is how it goes.
Yeah.
And then one of them belches and another one farts. And Shy Guy, you know, gets in there and tries to put his arms between the two older boys. And is like, now, come on, let's have a bromance.
He said that once.
He did say that once.
He's literally...
Good little mediator.
Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, do you remember Pokemon?
Ugh, I'll never forget. I would like to forget.
Pokemon was such a big thing in this house for the two older boys.
Oh, my God.
It was
heaven.
Crazy. And so
the world revolved around Pokemon. The cards, stuffies, those Pokeball toys that they'd walk around with hanging from their wrists.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes.
And then there was a little bit of a lull. And then that game came out on the phones.
Yeah. Pokemon Go.
Oh.
Well, when they were little.
Fuck you, Nintendo.
Don't say that, honey. We bought stock.
When?
When Pokemon Go came out.
Good luck, Nintendo.
I don't ever buy more than like 10 stocks, but I'll take it.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We have some. Okay. It's not doing so bad. Anyway.
Gotta catch them all.
I was just gonna say that. You are reading. Get out of my head. Get out of my head.
Rat bastard. Shit rat.
Anyway, they were huge, huge fans. And there was one time, I think Lola was probably 6 years old, and there was some brouhaha over the Pokemon cards.
Oh,
there was always
there
a brouhaha.
There was always some sort of brouhaha about
Yeah. And so Lola, who was 6 years old, and they get into some conflict about the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, Lola probably thinks to himself, I'll show him. And he takes the Alakazam card, which I would not have known, except
I guess it's a high prize.
I'm sure it was one of the rare cards.
And it's like foil or something.
Yeah, and probably had something sparkly on it. But he took Tigger's Alakazam card, and to show him that he shouldn't be treating Lola like that, Lola takes Tigger's Alakazam card and he rips it into several pieces and he throws it into the toilet and he calls Tigger into the bathroom to watch them flush down. This is not like Lola, right? When he gets really mad, you better watch out.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, they went down the toilet.
How'd that?
Well, there was hell to pay, for sure. And I had to be pulled in, and I thought it was hilarious. And the only thing that I could say was, you know, well, that you should not do that. I don't care how mad you were, right? And so this is what's going to happen. You're going to let Tigger pick any one of your Pokemon cards, which really made Lola mad at that point. But it was a really good lesson for him.
Yeah, he probably had nothing. I mean, it was probably over a card that he thought that Tigger stole, and chances are Tigger did steal it.
Because Tigger was a big fat stealer of Pokemon cards. It's not that he actually stole. He takes things that belong to his younger brother, but not ever Shy Guy.
Well, they weren't really into the same stuff
at all.
Or ever fit into the same clothes.
That's true. That's true. And so Tigger
just adopts things for himself.
He does. And then he really, truly believes that they are his.
Honestly believes it's his.
Yes.
And there's even backstory at times. Like when he took the pineapple shirt. And I'm like, that's Lola's shirt. And he's like, no, this is my shirt. And this is when I got it. And I'm like, I can go get the receipt from wherever if you need to see that. But that absolutely is just like poofing out of your butt. That's not a real thing.
Are you talking about blowing smoke?
Yeah.
Poofing out of your butt.
Yeah, that's just right out of your butthole.
Wow.
I know.
Oh,
blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. He has.
Oh, my God.
He has a terrible case of if it looks like mine, it's mine.
Yeah, that's kid-like. I mean, Lola does the same thing, too. Yeah. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
It's true.
Yeah.
But he does remember distinctly where things came from.
Yeah, but Lola's like, yeah, that wasn't mine. Tigger's like, no, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's mine.
You know the toddler rules. They are so funny. And they are so true.
I see it, I want it, it's mine.
If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way whatsoever. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it is mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And if it's broken, it's yours.
I think those are good rules for life.
I bet you do.
I mean, I kind of like all of those. I might put those on my wall in like a frame, like an inspirational poster.
Let's not.
So let's talk about, because you got a really nice compliment from Lola yesterday, that because he's very good at conflict resolution.
He is so good.
Not so much as a mediator, per se. I've never seen him mediate conflict resolution, I don't think. But he's good when he's in it. He can recognize his part in something and work through it. And he said the reason that he is good at that is because of you.
Wasn't that a nice thing?
Yeah. And it certainly wouldn't be because of me, because I'm in conflict with the kids every single day of the week.
No, you're not.
They do something that pisses me off. Oh, my God. I need conflict resolution training from you, apparently. But it was the sweetest thing.
It was the nicest thing. I almost cried.
He, like, brought up, he almost had, like, a PowerPoint that he could walk us through of all the different things that you've taught him.
Yeah.
And that he's able to employ. And I thought that was pretty remarkable.
Yeah. I said, why do you think it was me? Because I was curious what he thought I had done.
Yeah. Tell me more.
And, yeah.
I'll give you five
Tell me how fabulous
minutes
I am. To stop.
To knock that off.
And he said, well, no you statements. So I don't use you statements.
Okay.
I try to use I statements.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty introspective, and so I try to ask myself, you know, what I bring to the table, basically. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I get really upset, I need to take a 20-minute timeout. I'm like,
wow,
oh, my God, counseling pays off, because those are all things I learned in counseling, and I had to pass down to my kids because I never learned them from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember distinctly, like, learning these tricks. Oh, active listening was something my wife has not learned how to do yet.
I hate active listening.
No, you love it, actually, when I do it. You just hate
well,
the fact
that
you don't know how to do it.
Because I go straight to defense.
I know.
With conflict resolution.
That is not resolution, baby doll.
Okay, well, like, if I'm in conflict with someone.
Yes.
And there's, like, they're saying, here's how I'm feeling or whatever. And I'm like, it triggers something and I feel attacked and I get defensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here's why you're not actually feeling that. Like, it's like the three of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I'm not sure what the fourth one is. Maybe it's flipping them off.
What is that book called?
Well, that's John Gottman, I think,
and a marriage thing.
Yeah. But I think there's still like the four things or whatever, like what you shouldn't do when you're trying to work through something.
Don't be snide.
The four things you shouldn't do now, as demonstrated by Ellen. And it's like mostly, but it's just mostly kind of here. Like it's easier for me when I'm out and about. And I don't know if it's because I don't have as much like at stake maybe, but like when you and I have an issue, I have to work really hard to like, don't take it personally, be open to what's about to be said, reflect back. Yeah. It is like work.
Marriage is hard.
It is work for you, but you're so good at it. You're like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, that's how I'm feeling. Damn it.
She is doing active listening and yes, that's exactly how I feel.
Shit rat.
For those of you if you don't know what active listening is, let us tell you.
It's a good skill.
It is such a brilliant skill. And I learned it from a counselor and I learned it from another counselor and then I learned it from a third counselor and eventually I learned it myself.
Okay, don't ask me to role play.
I'm not going to ask you to role play, but if you are having a conversation with somebody and it devolves and people get upset, the best thing that you can do is realize that the other person, and this is the hardest part for me, the other person may be acting like they're upset with you, but you can't know that. And it doesn't even really matter if they are upset with you, because especially if you care about them and they're your person or your friend or your, you know, a colleague or someone you care about, then the best thing that you can do is active listen. If I'm in a conversation with somebody and it and they're upset, and maybe they're upset about me or maybe they're upset about somebody else, but I really want them to know that I hear them, then the best way that you can do that is just to listen to what they're saying, see what their body behavior is doing, and then reflect back to them what you see. And so you can say things like, oh, gosh, you must feel really invisible. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. You are listening to them. And so you've identified what you think to be the issue. And if you are wrong, it's no big deal. Because as soon as I say, oh, you feel invisible, the other person will say, no, it's not that. You know, maybe they'll say it calmly, but they will then identify what it is they're feeling. And so the only thing that's happening here is that they feel heard. And as soon as somebody feels heard, then they start to calm down. And so when the boys were little, and this is what Lola was talking about, I would kneel down behind the one who was really upset. And I would kind of hold them by the waist and, you know, they would be telling me what was going on and why they were right. And I would put the words in their mouth. OK, so turn around and look at your brother and just say, Tigger, I feel really upset that you ate all of my candy. Mm-hmm. And then I would go behind Tigger and I would just be I would just be behind him and I would say, oh, you feel like I don't respect your things. And Tigger would be like, or Lola would be like, yeah, you know, and I would just go back and forth. And it was a little exhausting. My knees got tired. But evidently it worked on one of them. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it worked on one of them.
It did not work on the other one at all. But no, he'll get there.
Maybe it did. We haven't talked to him about it.
That's true. But yeah.
Just spent a lot of time with Lola over the last.
Yeah.
A lot of alone time, really, because Shy Guy goes back and forth.
That's
and Tigger
right.
moved out. So since like 2016, it's. You know,
it's all over.
It's all Lola all the time.
You know, there was.
What do you mean it's all over? You're not even listening to me.
No.
You're not even listening to me.
I was not.
I feel ignored. Can you please reflect that back to me?
You feel invisible.
Yeah. Well, I do feel invisible, but you said something really interesting. You said when people feel heard, they start to calm down.
Yeah.
When people feel heard. They start to calm down.
So you're talking about
the protests.
Okay. We just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that the first time and I thought maybe she's actually still talking about kids.
No, I mean, it's from toddlers.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Little kids, teenagers.
We just want to be heard.
We just want to be heard.
And you don't even really have to understand, although it's better if you do. And if you actually try to use active listening and empathy, and note that it's listening, active listening. So you have to listen really hard to try to get to the heart of the matter, whether you're dealing with a police officer, a protester, or a toddler. It does not matter. If you listen hard and then you show that you are listening by reflecting back, the message will be received.
Mm-hmm.
It won't solve the world's problems, but it'll go a long way, right? Yeah. You're going to say something else there.
Oh, I just think, again, it's another totally off topic, but if you...
That's so unlike us.
If you are hearing it and you don't understand, this is your moment to dig in.
Mm-hmm.
This is your moment to ask why and treat it as if it was your child. If your child was standing there crying,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't walk away.
No.
You'd go, what's wrong? How can I help? Let me look into this. You would like figure it out. So this is your moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bat signal is thrown up there. You need to go figure out why.
Yeah.
Why is anyone taking a knee? What's going on? Dig in. Figure it out.
You know, but one of the things that you should not do when you are talking to people who have been hurt and who need to actually have reparations made,
mm-hmm.
Is probably perfectly illustrated by the boys. Grade school principal. Do you remember this story?
Yeah.
This is a really good story. This mm-hmm. is a story about conflict and about bullying, getting bullied, and about how not to resolve conflict as far as we're concerned as parents.
Oh, but, I mean, this is like, again, the how not to.
Yeah.
The what you should never, ever do.
Ever.
List.
And this was an educator who had just been promoted to principal. Maybe she was feeling the pressure of being a brand new principal. But anyway.
Let's not make excuses for shitty behavior.
It was shitty behavior. Bottom line.
Let's describe the story.
Oh my God, stop breathing
my
air.
Oh my God, stop breathing my air. Okay.
All right.
That was fun.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I didn't pick up on it for the longest time. And that's what happens with the kids. The one who's the victim in that situation, they're like, they just keep talking, and then all of a sudden you can see it.
And then they're like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to get out of this. Especially if you've got another kid that's just relentless.
That would be Tigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when Lola was in grade school, he was really big for his age. Again, 6'8", okay?
So not in grade school, but...
No, but he is right now 6'8".
Ahead of the curve.
But he was definitely ahead of the curve from the moment he came out. Anyway, so he was easily intimidated, and it's just something that has been... It was the band... He's not anymore. But he was intimidated by bullies especially, and there was this bully in his class who was... he was the shortest kid in class. And so one day, Lola is at school, and he's waiting to go inside. It's raining, so he's under the covered section by the four square and the basketball hoop. And he's sitting on the ground, and he's, of course,
reading.
Yes. And this little boy, we'll call him Dylan just for the hell of it, he comes up with his little posse of troublemakers. And he starts giving Lola flack, and Lola looks up at him and ignores him, turns around and goes back to his book. Well, Dylan's not having any of that. So he then thrusts his pelvis into Lola's face,
mm-hmm.
and the other boys surround him. So he's surrounded by all these boys. He's seated, so they're all taller than he is. After all this was over, I was like, why didn't you just bop him on the head? You're literally twice his
size. Why didn't you punch him in the dick?
Okay.
As he's thrusting his little boy junk in your face.
Okay, so Lola gets intimidated. He's sitting there. He doesn't know what to do. These guys are surrounding
him.
How
embarrassing.
And he's super embarrassed. And he's got a friend named Kevin. And Kevin is just this funny little dorky kid. I wonder where he is these days. God. And he pops.
Stanford, probably.
Probably. He pops his head around the corner and he sees what's going on. And he does the first thing that comes to mind, which is to roll on the ground and I think like start barking or something to try to get their attention so that they'll leave Lola alone. And sure enough, it works. And so Dylan walks over and the posse goes and surrounds poor Kevin. And Dylan straddles Kevin and then acts like he's teabagging him. We don't know any of this has happened until we are driving in the car with the boys. And it turns out that Lola told Tigger what had happened. And so Tigger said, Mom, Ellen, I've got to tell you something.
So he tells us the story of what happened, of this event. And did we go to the teacher or we went straight to the principal?
We went straight to the principal.
And it was actually really, she's a little bit out of touch. I mean, I'm sure anyone who doesn't know what teabagging is can look it up, but probably most people
this
do.
Was the best part.
And so we're trying to explain this like pelvic thrust. This is a specific act. This is genitals being thrust in the face We had to explain to her what we were talking about.
Here's the deal. She was making all of these excuses and not taking it seriously at all. And I was starting to see red. And I was so mad that when I said, well, I think it's absolutely inappropriate, and I don't care what grade they are, for one boy to teabag another boy. And she looks at me and she says, I'm sorry. And I was just waiting for it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so much fun. I said, oh, you know, it's where a man puts his balls in the face of somebody else. The look on her face was priceless.
I know. She almost stroked out.
She did.
Right there. We were about ready to have to do some resuscitation.
Now let's talk about how she tried to resolve this conflict, because it was so bad.
So she, I think, got on board with that this is not good. Like,
yeah,
this is borderline sexual assault. Like, this could turn into something horrible.
Yeah.
And so she hauled all the kids in there and had a talk with them. But then she also brought in Lola and explained that Lola was going to be the one to come up with the punishment.
The reparation, as
she
called it.
The reparation, as she called it. So the abused, the oppressed, was now going to tell the oppressors how they were going to be punished. I mean, talk about putting a kid in
the worst
totally
possible situation.
Fucked up position.
Yeah.
So he's now damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. So is he supposed to let them off the hook so they leave him alone, or give him some sort of horrible, like, kid punishment so that they continue then to harass him on the playground? That's horrifying.
We went in and
poor sweet Lola probably really put thought into what would be an appropriate,
because
he's so fair.
Yeah, he is so fair. He should be a judge.
Oh my God.
So we went back in and talked to her about the fact that it was inappropriate to ask the victim to, like, come up with a reparation because it puts him in such a terrible position. And I then said, I'd like to know what you're doing about this. Mm-hmm. You know, what have you done?
Well, and you asked specifically, what did the other parents say?
And she just looked at us and kind of pursed her lips again and tilted her head. And I said, did you tell the other parents? And she said, I'm not at liberty to say that. It's a privacy issue.
No,
and
oh, my God.
Of all the regrets in my life, I'm sorry I didn't address what she said to me in that meeting. I was just so stunned. And, you know, I just felt like, she's the principal. Maybe she knows better.
Didn't we have a nickname for her? It was like, what was that nasty Harry Potter character?
Oh, the Ministry of Magic official, Dolores Umbridge.
Oh, that's right.
We called her Umbridge.
This principal dressed like, I mean,
she looked like her.
I'm shaming at this point.
Yeah, you are.
She messed with our kid.
That's right.
And that's what happens.
Okay, and so when here's the other thing that happens. The principal doesn't take care with this, really makes the parents mad. And then the next time that there's a big all-school activity where everybody's out on the playground and the parent who's angry and feels somehow like, you know, fairness and justice wasn't served, sees the little bully Dylan and
may or may not have confronted him
and told him, I'm keeping my eyes on you, at which point he turned around and hightailed it as far away from me as he possibly could. And from what I understand from Lola, he was never given a hard time by Dylan again. And I would not have been afraid to go to Dylan's mother, but it's a privacy issue. Oh, really, Umbridge? Really? She didn't know what teabagging was, and I bet she didn't know who Umbridge was. So
I bet she's never seen a penis.
That is the worst thing I think you've ever said on this show.
Really? That's the worst thing I've ever said?
It's
is that
pretty
Umbridge
good, though.
Never saw a wiener?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well, I think actually conflict resolution, I wasn't even thinking about it, how timely it really is when it came up on our topic list. It's a good one for right now.
Yeah, it is. There are all sorts of ways. You know what? There are microaggressions and there are micro resolutions. And you have every opportunity all day long, every day, to have a micro resolution. Or maybe you need to address, you know, there is another thing that another lesson that came out of this same grade school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a teacher who did not do something about bullying in a class. And I think it was one of Tigger's teachers. And I was so upset by what I saw that I bought him a book that I absolutely, if you are a parent of small kids, I absolutely suggest you buy this book. It's called The Bully, The Bullied, and The Bystander. And here's the deal. That's what's going on in schools. And that's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. There is a bully. Yes, they're outright. They're flagrant. They're easy to spot. You know them. There's the bullied. They are the oppressed. They are the ones who are the victims. They are the ones we have to protect.
And there's the rest of us.
There's the bystander. Mm-hmm. And often, frequently, we play the bystander role. And I think that this is our time to say, I'm not going to be a bystander
anymore. There's
a fourth
category.
Yes, that's right. What should we call that category?
I don't know.
The brave.
Well, I think the bullied are pretty brave.
I think the bullied are, they don't have an opportunity to be brave.
Maybe that is a good term then.
Yeah, I think that when you are so oppressed, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about a, you know, fourth grader or a black man who's being pulled over by a cop, if you are so oppressed and you feel like you have no power, that you are powerless, and in fact you are.
Yeah, you're powerless.
You don't need a white savior, but you do need a strong ally. Mm-hmm. So be brave, be an ally for your kids.
Maybe that's the name. Maybe we're the two stupidest women on the planet. We're like, what should we call like an ally type person? Maybe it's ally. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I mean, I really did want it to start with a B. I went straight into that headspace. But that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Stop being a bystander and be an ally. Yeah.
God, we're dumb. That's because it's late and it's been a long week.
It is. It's 10:45 on a Wednesday night.
Woo, woo. By the time this comes out, the whole world will have changed again. And we will have all changed with it. And you actually will have become more of an ally to the people in your life or the people that you see in life who need you. And for that, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Are you feeling the fire?
Oh, I've been feeling the fire. Are you feeling the fire?
Well,
this from my wife who I had to browbeat to, like, come to the party. Come to the party, honey. Come on. Come to the party. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You hate me right now, don't
you? No, I don't hate you. I just thought you opened with, like, some message of hopelessness, but you were just talking about the...
Well, I was talking about the not Dakotes.
Yeah, the Coates.
I was talking about the Coates book, Between the World and Me.
Yeah.
And the fact that, I mean, he lays out a case. He's a journalist. He's smart, well-read, well-educated, respected journalist. And he lays out a case of hopelessness that is hard to argue with. But what he didn't foresee, and this is why, you know, Lola is he's a naysayer. He's an Eeyore sometimes. Right?
Yeah. Well, he's not Tigger.
No, we've got one who thinks the world
we've got Tigger and Eeyore.
Going to hell in a handbasket. Another one who thinks that everything is coming up roses. And then we've got Shy Guy who never says a thing, but he's like a little sponge. So he just sits there and he takes it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Still waters.
Processing.
Running deep. That's right. But here's the point I was trying to make is that Lola thinks that we really are just spiraling down. Mm-hmm. There's no stopping it.
I get it.
And I keep telling him, because it's my belief as a human being and because it's my job as his mom, that he has no idea what kinds of solutions might be out there and that he should go seek them and he should go pursue them. And if he doesn't find them, he should then build them. The best lesson here is science, you know, when they accidentally discover something that they had no idea existed before. Well, Coates, in his book, really lays out a case for hopelessness because for Black people in America, it felt very, very hopeless to him. And what was really great in the last week was to hear him say, actually, I didn't think it would come to this. I didn't think we would see these changes in my lifetime. I have hope now.
Mm.
And if he can have hope,
mm-hmm.
even Lola can have hope. And I certainly have hope. So I feel the fire. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because tomorrow or the next day or the day after that, I might find that trough again and be sitting in a puddle of tears in the office, which is where I've been once or twice in the last couple of weeks.
Fair.
I think everybody
Up
has.
And down.
Yeah.
Up and down.
It's been tough.
Read that book.
Yes.
Read The New Jim Crow.
Yes.
It will literally.
Take me down?
No.
Fire me up.
Fire you up. Like, I just cannot wait to discuss it with you and understand what your perception was of what was going on in the 80s versus mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
Well, in the 80s, I wasn't paying attention to anything. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, I would like to know after you read this, like, what you remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a deal.
Okay.
We might have to start having, like, a little book club.
I think people will just die.
Speaking of which, yeah. Let's get out of here.
Let's go.
It's time for us to go. You guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah.
And for always, you know, I know that maybe you laughed hysterically at the first handful of shows and, well, at the it's show 30?
Yes, this is show 30. And I think that we have been doing this as long in quarantine as we did before when we were not in quarantine.
That is just crazy to think about.
I think it's 15 weeks in and then another 15 have been completely under the pandemic.
Okay, so here's the deal. For the first 15 weeks, we know that it was a slightly different show.
Yeah, because... and then things got a little dark.
Well,
so
you know what?
Thanks for sticking with us.
I think it's whatever is on everybody's mind. Yes, we're talking about how hard parenting is. And yes, we're talking about how you can fall flat on your face as a parent. And yes, we're talking about how ridiculous kids are. But we're also talking about the world in which we live.
That's right. And this is the world in which we live.
It is messy. And we are going to actually figure things out and how to be better people and how to be better allies together. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot for being here with us.
Brave allies.
Brave allies. You're a BA.
Yeah. You're a bare-ass brave ally. I love it.
And on that, goodbye.
See you.